Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me this morning to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we do have some Bibles in the back cart there by the sound cart that you can use, or you can simply follow along on the screen behind me. We are obviously taking a break for those of you who are regular attenders and members of Ascension. We're obviously taking a break from our study of the Lord's Prayer this week. And why are we doing that? We'll probably do that next week and the week after as well because of Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. But we're doing it this week because, if you read your email closely, this morning is a significant morning in the life of our church, really in the life of any local church. And that is, we are ordaining and installing new officers, specifically new elders among us in just a few moments. This service this morning is the culmination of many months of prayer, of discussion, of the leading of God's Spirit in our midst, for the good of His church and for the glory of His name. And so I didn't want to just blow by this day and not take the moment, a few moments, to stop and to pause and to think about our work together as a church, to think about the work ahead for these men. Even if you're visiting this morning and you're not part of this local congregation, I think you'll still find these words from God's Word to be valuable for all of our lives as the church. As I thought about where to go this morning, this is the passage where my heart immediately went to. And I've got to keep my comments short this morning. I promised Pastor Ed that I would do so because you're going to hear a little mini sermon from Pastor Ed as well. So you get two for the price of one this morning. So I will be brief, just know that. And before I read the text this morning, I want to just set the scene, give some of the context, because we're kind of jumping in the middle of a story, jumping in the middle of a book. As we come to Nehemiah chapter 4, this is a time in the life of God's people, Israel, that is not totally foreign to us here at Ascension. Why? Because we have recently finished a study of the book of Zechariah. And you remember the context of the study of the book of Zechariah. In that book, God's people had returned from exile. God had sent them away as a result of their rebellion, as a result of their sin. They had returned from exile to their homeland, but they were plagued by the discouragement of the opposition that they encountered, particularly in rebuilding the temple of God, the place of God's presence, the symbol of God's power amongst His people. Well, Nehemiah's time and plight are not that far removed from Zechariah's. And you're going to hear a familiar theme this morning from Nehemiah chapter 4, a theme that we heard in the book of Zechariah. But Nehemiah is focused not on the building of the temple. He is focused on the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, the city of God's dwelling. But he too will face resistance and opposition and discouragement. And so that's where I want our hearts to go for the next just few minutes this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to read just the first 14 verses, Nehemiah 4, 1 through 14. It's our tradition at Ascension for you to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're able, we invite you to do that. Listen as I read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come upon them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the place behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please go ahead and be seated. We might say simply this as we jump into this passage, that the rebuilding of the wall has hit a wall. Have you ever felt that way about our mission as a church, either this particular church known as Ascension Presbyterian Church or capital C Church, just the larger church? Here in this passage, this gigantic task before God's people is underway, a wall that's 2 miles long, that's 20 feet high, that's 4 feet wide. It's an enormous task that they have before them. And they're halfway there. And things begin to stall. It's an instructive passage, I think, for us as God's people. It reminds us of two truths that I want us to see from this passage this morning. One, directed at you, God's people, the church. And the other, primarily, though not exclusively, directed at you men, you elders, tasked with shepherding and leading this church, myself included. And the first truth is this: don't be surprised when God's work faces opposition. Don't be surprised when God's work faces opposition. As I said before, this is a drum that you've heard me beat in the book of Zechariah. It might not sound like encouragement at first, but it is. God's word reminds us this morning that we need not despair. We need not be surprised that the world, that our flesh, that the devil hates God's work. And will do whatever he can in order to disrupt it and to derail it. The story here in Nehemiah chapter 4, it's pretty dramatic. And it begins with these two regional officials standing by. Sanballat and Tobiah are their names. And they start shooting words at God's people as they're working away at the walls. And first of all, it's just words, because God's people are here by the permission of the king. They're not in violation of any treaty. They're here by permission. And so it just begins by badgering through the set of rhetorical questions. Sanballat knew how to build morale among his troops, right? We call this trash talking. This is the ancient version of trash talking, getting into your opponent's head, saying things that will throw your opponent off of their game, get them flustered and frustrated. But Sanballat isn't playing around. He's trying to get into the heads of the Israelites in the worst kind of way. He's out to discourage, he's out to demoralize God's people as they are seeking to do God's work. We don't have time to unpack it all, But he belittles them. He ridicules their resolve. What are you feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? And we ask, did the name calling, did the badgering begin to wear on God's people? Did it begin to get to them? I think it did. Nevertheless, they were persistent. So we built the wall, Nehemiah writes. The people had a mind to work. Well, now the opposition is angry. Because their words, their badgering, their trash talking doesn't seem to have its effect. And so now more than words, now there are plots, verse 8. There are plans to fight. There are plans for an attack, a sneak attack to cause confusion and discouragement and even death among God's people as they seek to rebuild the wall. Now this is serious opposition. This is opposition that seems to be winning the day. No longer can they merely be dismissed. In verse 10 we read, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. You see, the doubts that are being thrown at them, the fear that is being thrown at them is having its effect. Maybe this is too tall of a task for us. I mean, is this really worth risking my life over? I've got a family to care for. We can understand, to some degree, their discouragement and their fears. You see, as we think about this situation here in Nehemiah chapter 4, their opposition is our opposition. Yes, you're not building a wall. We're not building a wall. We are not a localized, nationalized people of God, but we are the people of God. And we are about the King's work. We are about God's work. And as we've been reminded in the Lord's Prayer, it's not about us. It's about what he wants to accomplish. And so how might opposition look like here? What does it look like here? How would the enemy like to discourage us and attack God's work? Well, there could be discouragement from within. Israel faced this at times, internal issues in their lives together. Our spiritual enemy, brothers and sisters, loves to gain a foothold in the Church of Jesus Christ in this way. Disagreements among us resulting in relational tension. People leaving our church for this reason or that reason. The discouragement of not seeing new people come into our midst or our inability to make budget. All can be used and amplified as discouragement. We might begin to ask, is our work here worthwhile? Is God really in this? Are we really being used by Jesus? And of course, there could be discouragement without. We've talked about this a lot in the book of Nehemiah, the dwindling attendance in all of our churches, not just churches here in the Northwest. Our covenant kids struggling and wandering from the faith as they breathe the cultural air. The culture itself moving further and further and further away from God's design. And that resulting in our views, our commitments, our faith being marginalized, ostracized, ridiculed, and even in some places persecuted. All of that is indeed discouraging. The Lord reminds us to remember, don't be surprised at the opposition to God's work. Hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of this world, and I chose you out of this world, then the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so my first encouragement to us this morning is just to remember, we ought not be surprised when we are opposed, walking faithfully with what God has called us to do and to be about. But there's another encouragement that I want to briefly give this morning. The experience of God's people here in Nehemiah 4 doesn't just show us the problem, but it gives us some of the solution as well. And the second reality is this: rejoice that God's work continues through godly leadership. Rejoice that God's work continues through godly leadership. Now recognize that godly leadership is only one part of the puzzle. It's only one part of the plan. But here in the book of Nehemiah and here in this passage, it's a significant part of the puzzle. See, Nehemiah, a leader among God's people in this time and place, shows us what godly leadership ought to consist of, at least what some of the things that godly leadership ought to consist of. I've broken it down into three things: prayer, preparedness, and pointing to Jesus. Prayer, preparedness, and pointing to Jesus. Nehemiah shows us the way. In chapter 1, he was confronted with a tragic report. And what did he do? We didn't read the passage. I'll tell you what he did. He prayed. It's the first thing he did. In chapter 2, he arrives in Jerusalem. He sees the work at hand. And what does he do? He prays. He begins with God. And now here in chapter 4, upon hearing the taunts, he doesn't retaliate, but what does he do? He prays. He prays urgently. He prays honestly. He prays dependently. He prays passionately. Men, elders, we need to be men who pray. Deacons, we need to be men who pray, who lead our people to pray. And then beyond the leadership church, we need to be a people of prayer. This requires humility. It requires an acknowledgement that we wage war against powers that are far beyond us, but not beyond our God. And so Nehemiah prays. But Nehemiah also wisely prepares. He sets up guards day and night. He stations people by their clans, covering the length of the work. Half of the servants are dedicated to building, while half become guards. The builders are now carrying small arms as they do the work of the Lord. And finally, he places a trumpeter who will unite them all should they need to be united by a blast. Well, what's going on here? This is biblical, spirit-led wisdom. You see, Nehemiah doesn't make everything a spiritual issue, but Nehemiah doesn't have his head in the clouds, but he's realistic about the threat that he faces, that the people of God face, and he uses all the means at his disposal. First, the heavenly weapon of prayer, then the biblical wisdom that the Spirit leads him to. Elders, deacons, we need to heed Jesus' words in Matthew 10. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Searching the Scriptures, wisely considering how they speak to our time. That's hard work. But it's what's modeled for us here and what the Scriptures call us to. Well, finally, Nehemiah doesn't just boost morale by praying. He doesn't just encourage God's people by this outward show of strength and military organization. No, he points them to the Lord. Verse 14, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And this is really the ultimate task of us as leaders is to point everyone to Jesus, to remind ourselves that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and seek the things that are above, not the things of earth. You see, God's people here had forgotten their focus. They had forgotten the vision that had gripped them, the strength that was promised to them. And instead, they were listening to all the voices that they were hearing in the world. And we do the same. I do the same. And so Nehemiah led them to prayer. He took seriously the earthly realities they faced. And then he reminded them, he pointed them to the Lord in all things. It's His work. This is His world. We need not fear. We need not be anxious. You see, that is our task, brothers, shepherds. We can walk in it as shepherds because of the Good Shepherd, the one who has gone before us, the one who is still with us, the Lord Jesus, who lived His life as a life of dependence upon the Father in prayer, whose wisdom is made evident by how He cared for His followers while He was here on earth, and who taught us all the Father's care for His own. This is our task, not only brothers, brother shepherds, but this is our task, Church of Jesus, to not lose heart, but to press on in faithfulness, in humility, in wisdom, and in union with Jesus, to rejoice that yes, God's work is opposed. It will always be opposed. But this is His work, and He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over her. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this encouragement, this reminder from Your Word about our work together. And we do rejoice in the fact that You continue to build Your church. You continue to raise up men to serve her, men and women to labor for the sake of the gospel. And so, Father, we ask for us here at Ascension, that You would grant us the grace to trust and to walk as our Savior did, not in fear, in humility, in dependence, in wisdom, and in confidence in what You're doing in our world. Oh, Holy Spirit, take these truths, plant them deep in us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.